Our next case this morning is number 06-3275, Garcia against the Attorney General. Mr. Cuseno.
Good morning, Your Honor. William Cuseno on behalf of the petitioners Fabio Garcia and Luz M. Franco. Their petition for review seeks review of the denial of their asylum and withholding claim by the immigration judge, which was affirmed by the Board of Immigration Appeals. This petition for review presents three issues. One, whether they've established that they suffered past persecution. Two, whether they've established a well-founded fear of future persecution. And three, whether they were persecuted because of their imputed political opinion. Regarding the persecution, the first issue, the petitioners maintain that the way the immigration judge viewed the five or six incidents or confrontations with the guerrilla group known as FARC was almost on an individual basis. And the petitioners maintain that it is more of an escalating scheme of intimidation and a real threat of physical violence. Starting with June 2001 initial threat by the FARC officials and ending with the October of 2002 stop by the FARC of a huge caravan of almost 244 people. One of the critical issues involving that October 2002 stop is the fact that the judge failed to mention in her analysis. And that was that the individual who requested his identification when he was pulled out of the caravan was the same individual FARC soldier who had attempted to kidnap him back in April of 2002. And they both recognized each other. And the FARC soldier told him and reminded him that he recognized him, and hit him on the head with a gun, forced him to kneel, put the gun to his head, and then led him away in another attempt to kidnap him. And so the argument is that these five or six incidents put together and as a whole amount to persecution. Second argument is that he has a reasonable...
Isn't it relevant, though, that this was going on for a considerable period of time, but there wasn't any, at least successful, attempt to actually inflict any violence upon...
No, but another critical fact that she failed to mention of that October 2002 incident is that the last thing the FARC soldier said to him as he left was that the next time I see you, you'll be shot on the spot instead of any type of talking or waiting, that, you know, the next time they see him, he's done. And if you do that with a backdrop of the capability that the FARC group has and the history that there is in this 40-year civil conflict between the government and FARC, it's reasonable to assume that he has that fear. I mean, he has a characteristic, the petitioner, that is a threat to the FARC. He had an ability in that community to communicate with the peasants. He was well-known, well-liked, and he was authorized by the federal Colombian government to take a registry of the human, the violations that the FARC was doing in that area. And knowing that and having the capability that the FARC does gives him that well-founded fear if he is to return to Colombia. And the last issue is whether that was all based on political opinion. And again, go back to the facts of the case. And I think that's something that the immigration judge failed to recognize, that this individual was politically connected. He had friends with the mayor. He passed out political propaganda. He approached the mayor to start this program, who commissioned him to go to the capital of the country, and at the capital was commissioned by the head individual of this agency to go back to that region and to start this work of collecting information of the abuses done by the FARC. Therefore, Your Honor, we ask that you grant our petition for review.
Thank you, Mr. Crescent. We'll hear now from Ms. Zengler.
Thank you, Your Honors. Jill Zengler on behalf of the Attorney General. Your Honors, the record in this case and the IJ's decision indicates that, in fact, the IJ did consider all of the facts, all of the testimony, and the entire record before her in issuing her decision. That decision is supported by substantial record, and there are no facts in the record that compels a reversal of her decision. The incident, I think, that the petitioner keys on this morning is the roadblock in 2002. It is significant to note that the FARC never carried out any of its threats on the petitioner while he was living in Colombia. The record is replete with his allegations that the FARC was constantly threatening him. Every time he met the FARC, they'd say, "We're going to get you, we're going to get you, we're going to get you." But even though, in fact, he was a well-known individual, had lived in Bogota and Ubala, his parents' address was well known. They never approached him. He never received any threatening letters at his address. They never came to his home in either Bogota or Ubala. And the immigration judge, in considering those particular facts, drew the reasonable inference that the FARC, an organization as big as the petitioner alleges the FARC to be, as notorious as the petitioner alleges the FARC to be, if they had really wanted to get him, they would have. They had ample opportunities. That finding is supported by substantial evidence, and there's nothing to compel a reversal of that fact. The 2002 roadblock, in considering that, the IJ considered that that is an unfortunate part of living in Colombia, that roadblocks are set up, that all citizens of Colombia are subject to them, and this was not a roadblock set up to snare this particular individual. The petitioner in his brief, I think, tried to liken his situation to that of the petitioner in this court's Hoare versus Gonzalez decision, in which the alien in that case, who had been stopped at a roadblock and threatened, had actually been an Algerian military member who had access to particular information that that guerrilla group had wanted. And in that case, the alien had actually secured release from a previous detention from that guerrilla group by promising to provide that information to them at a later date, and then reneged on that promise. When he was stopped at a roadblock and threatened to be killed, it was because of that particular incident. There's nothing in the record to liken Mr. Garcia to that alien in Hoare. And of particular note, the alien in the Hoare case had been told by the Algerian government, after he reported this incident, that the Algerian government was unable to protect him. One of the other pieces of...
I'm sorry.
The Algerian government was not able to protect Mr. Hoare. By contrast, in this case, Garcia chose never to report any of his contacts with the FARC to the Colombian government. And while he argues now that the Colombian government could not protect him, what the record indicates is, on the occasion that he had two bodyguards, two police officers assisting him, he testified that he felt safe and no harm came to him. When the police were called in regard to the 2002 roadblock incident, they appeared en masse and in force and, in fact, stopped a number of people from being killed by the FARC. That indicates that the Colombian government is not in cahoots with the FARC.
So you see no conflict then between Hoare and the present case?
Not at all, Your Honor. And finally, Your Honor, there is no indication that any of these actions were taken against him because of his political opinion. He never held political
now,
office.
At that point, I don't really understand. It seems to me that's a hair-splitting point here. You've got the FARC as an insurgent group politically opposed to the Colombian government, and this fellow is furthering the cause of the government by pursuing these various programs that the FARC doesn't like. Now, you say there's no political element to that. I don't I just don't understand that argument.
Well, Mr. Garcia was never held political office. He
He may not have held political office, but he was certainly carrying out a program in support of the Colombian government, wasn't he?
Well, Your Honor, as the Supreme Court noted in the Elias Zacharias case, the mere existence of a generalized political motive underlying the guerrilla's forced activity doesn't indicate that they are taking that action in regard to that political...
He certainly had friends in government, didn't he? I mean, he picked up his mail at the mayor's office.
That's correct. He did have friends in government, but that doesn't mean that he himself was acting himself because of that political opinion.
Is this really important to your case?
I see that it's not as important as the other two points, Your Honor. And unless the court has any other questions, I'll rest on the arguments made in the brief.
Thank you, Ms. Zangler.
Thank you, Your Honor.
How much time does Mr. Crescendo have? Thank you.
I won't need that full time, Your Honor. I'll be brief. A couple points. We don't know
what
the...
I didn't want to be I hope you didn't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to rush things along here.
Oh, no, Your Honor.
Well, you have to counsel the relative...
Believe me, the less time I can be
arguments.
Up here, the better for... the motivation of why they did not get the try to get the petitioner during that time of a year and a half to almost 2 years. We don't know what their motivation was not to act further. What we are left with, and back to that critical fact that the judge missed, is that the last threat from the FARC was that the next time we see you, you're going to be shot, period. And does the petitioner have to wait to that point? We're not sure. And as far as the roadblock, yes, this roadblock was not meant to stop him, but when the FARC officials started asking for identification, and it just so happened to be the same individual from a previous incident with the petitioner, they recognized each other, and that turned the situation to something completely different. He was immediately hit on the head, a gun to his head, and started to be led away into the countryside by the FARC official. And as far as reporting, I don't know where else you can go. Yes, he didn't go to the police. He went to the highest executive official in the area. He went to the mayor, who persuaded him out of fear that it would bring even more reprisals against him not to report. And the incident that he did report was the last incident, which was required by every individual of those 244 people because it was such a big event. It made the newspaper. It was recounted, and therefore he did report that. We provided that as evidence. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Counsel. Indeed, our thanks to both attorneys for their oral arguments today, and we'll take the case under advisement.